welding. I did not. And restoration of his 1970 Jeep, which has been going on for how long?
Yeah. It's been going on a while, but it's coming along.
Good. Please welcome Officer Hill.
Thank you. Well, I did a little research before I came in, and no Midland people here, so I think Midland's over 100,000 as far as weight enforcement goes, and the commercial aspect of enforcing the federal law is you got to hit certain populations. Counties have to be a certain population. So we're going to kind of, first of all, open it up to y'all to determine what you're here for, what you'd like to hear about, because we can kind of curtail this today to fit your needs. So what kind of questions or interests do you have?
Sure.
And there's a lot of state law that covers it,
right,
that you can enforce. Well, cool. Well, we'll get you familiar, and then maybe you can energize your officers to... I can actually even give you a PowerPoint presentation on state law that's... yeah, I can't do this sitting down. Okay, well, by all means, when we get going, if you see something of interest... This is going to go quick since we only have a few people. Usually we have a lot of questions, but by all means, if you see something up here you'd like to know more about, see more pictures, whatever. We'll do whatever you want to do. Simply put, CVE is commercial vehicle enforcement of laws and regulations that pertain to commercial vehicles, their owners, and operators, which includes the drivers. One of the primary modes of transportation, as we all well know, it's a major economic engine. And we want them, all the goods to be transported efficiently and safely without any incidents. Unfortunately, as Hickory Creek will know, in the DFW Metroplex, every single day on the news, we have an incident with a truck. I don't know how it is out this far west or south. But certainly, we have a problem in the DFW Metroplex. This is a crash in Denton a couple years ago now. Basically caused by driver inattention. He's distracted, went off the road and hit the bridge pillar. The bridge pillar won. The driver luckily didn't die, as I recall, but certainly caused some damage. And then the economic impact of the highway being shut down for hours. Certainly, if you've ever dealt with the, what is MUCD or MTCD, it's the federal law about shutting down highways. Because there's so much economy moving up and down that roadway, when we shut down a highway, we're shutting down a lot of money, a lot of goods from getting to where they need to be. This was actually in Denton as well when I was in training almost four years ago, and we got a call, or the officers I was training with got a call that we had a truck stuck in the lane, and this is what I got to pull up on because the other guys were tied up. So I started the inspection on this, and basically what happened is you have an old trailer, and poor loading. They loaded it up in the middle so much that it collapsed the structure. This was in Louisville last year on the Sam Rayburn Tollway. We had actually a North Texas Tollway Authority dump truck try to cross over two lanes in front of the 18-wheeler, which by interest was hauling chickens, frozen chickens. There was a lot of cooked chicken when this was all over with. Another driver inattention issue. Guy just wasn't paying attention, got off the road edge, flips his truck. Now, commercial vehicle enforcement, a lot of people think we're just messing with the trucks, but drivers are regulated just like pilots. They're allowed to drive so many hours, be on duty so many hours, and then they have to have so much time off. And so a lot of these guys are violating those hours of service. They're fatigued, they're tired, and things happen, unfortunately. This is another driver inattention. You can see the traffic backed up. This is Interstate 35. He rolled off. He's not even on the highway anymore. He's on the service road. But that's a pretty steep embankment. And he rolled off after falling asleep or whatever. That was a Denton accident as well, so I don't remember the details.
Where do they find these people?
I can't answer that. Now, you don't have to know much about cars, but nuts and bolts hold cars together. If you look right here, you have a chain. This, by the way, is your steering wheel mechanism. When you turn your steering wheel, it turns this arm back and forth and turns your wheel so you can turn your car. It's called a tie rod end here. And that bolts into the steering knuckle on the wheel. This is a cable pull nylon rope holding that in. And then this is helping to make sure it doesn't completely fall out. This was an actual truck inspected by Grapevine Police Department earlier this year. I told them I had to have that picture. I just couldn't believe it. And that's an 80,000-pound fully loaded truck. So, at the very least, at the end of this hour, you're going to drive around trucks and go, wow, I want to get away from them. Yeah, cow catcher. Yeah. That, unfortunately, summertime is the prime time for tires to come loose on these trucks. You'll see them every once in a while through the cooler months, but rarely. But that can happen to anybody. You know, a lot of them do use retreads. And for the most part, they're good. But if they're not checking them when they do start to separate and don't go change them out. Not even me. The federal criteria, of course, Texas has no tire law. You can run on bald tires, and it's not going to be dealt with until you have an inspection. When you go get your car inspected, then they'll go, you don't have enough tread. Under federal law, we have guidance. We have certain tread depth that we can enforce and make them change their tires out. Unfortunately, on the retreads or regroovable tires, and on sidewalk, well, a lot of those, the retreads do separate around the bead that they redid, but that's normal. That's okay. It's when they really start peeling that they should be taking those tires out of service. So why do we do it? You've already seen a few pictures, but we want to enhance safety by assuring compliance with applicable safety regulations and to deter the abuse. And that's, you know, drivers, trucks, weight, oversized, you name it. And deter abuse is about all we do. We do gain compliance with some companies, which is the ultimate goal. But there's some. We've got one in Dallas-Fort Worth now that's our number one customer that just every day you can stop them. They get like 90 units. You can stop them every day for tires and brakes and put them out of service. You know, everything's bigger in Texas. And although it's gotten better, you can see we still rank number one as far as 2009 over California and everybody else. Now, in the next couple of slides, you'll see how bad we are over our part of the woods.
And those things are like the drivers, just anybody that's involved in it.
Just, yeah, the incident, somebody died. And
those are all fatalities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This, if we come back and do this class next year, of course, we'll have 2010 statistics. The feds are always behind a little bit. But still, that's a great improvement, but we still have a long ways to go. And unfortunately, that's a real deceiving number. Realistically speaking, cars cause most of these accidents with trucks. There are issues with trucks, but my gosh, you know, when you pull in front of an 80,000-pound vehicle in traffic and the traffic stops, guess what? You're going to get hit. This is the slide I was talking about. Most accidents, fewer accidents. This is where I work right here. Of course, we're out here, and y'all are in pretty good shape, those of you from out here in West Texas. But this is a horrible area. Wise County, Denton County, Collin County, and Dallas. Terrence, they're with us on it, but really a bad area. Wise County really is the worst. They're just horrific because all the rock quarries are out there. So the bad trucks are frequenting that area.
Have you seen Nevada in the white zone, which is fused accidents?
I don't know. That's an odd area that there's nothing here.
They have three.
Even up here.
They run three trailers out there.
Yeah, A-trains.
I cannot believe that. I couldn't get around them fast enough. I'm like,
no.
It's crazy. I mean, any little bit, and they're just...
Well, yeah, if it's a windy day, you can't pass them because the whole thing will sway into you. Texas will only allow doubles and nothing more. And from what I understand,
I believe they're in the least
Up north, Wyoming, those very... They're called A-trains. We'll have time. I may be able to pull a picture up and show you. They're huge. And then when you get to Australia, they'll run 6 or 7 trailers. It's amazing. But they're driving out, and there's just nothing out there. Okay, this is where y'all all be kind of interested. I'll tell you right now that the commercial side of enforcement is not a moneymaker as far as the federal regulations. That whole program is dealt to, you know, get the compliance, get the people to fix their trucks and make it safer for everybody. Now, on the city level, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but this is what most cities do is the number one. No enforcement whatsoever. Everybody's scared of trucks. It's nothing but a large car. City enforcement only, and I'm going to refer to weight on this. A city can do weight enforcement. The transportation code, however, restricts you to doing it only on your city streets. You have to be, I've got it up here in a minute, I think it's 100,000 population to be able to do weight on the interstate and state highways. And then, of course, state weight enforcement, that would be the interstate and state highways. And then federal. Doing the federal level, you operate out of a lot of books. And from different agencies. We go from Railroad Commission, Federal Highway Administration, Texas Law, Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration. I'm going to show you a picture. This is my little library in my back seat that I refer to daily. I got federal law, state law, like I say, PHMSA, student manuals, Railroad Commission. Oh, TABC is the other one. TABC regulates the beer trucks. Railroad Commission does all your propane trucks. So I have a lot of people to deal with. And I took a picture of that. The first class we took, me and my co-instructor taught, we brought the books in, and it's too heavy to carry around. So it was easy to take a picture. This is where this stuff can be kind of confusing. Differing definition of commercial motor vehicle, CDL, exceptions, exemptions. As a matter of fact, the hazardous materials book, I've got it here actually, we call it the book of exceptions. There's a lot of law in there, but there's more exceptions than there is law. Everybody's got their own little hand in it somehow, some way, where they can get exempted from certain regulations. And this is a good example of CDL. School buses obviously require a CDL with a passenger endorsement and a school bus endorsement as well. However, this school bus does not fall under federal regulations. I can't stop it roadside, check its brakes and all its lights and everything else. I can't touch it. The reason being is right here, Denton ISD. Denton ISD is a government entity, and governments are exempted from the federal regulations. Now, in Louisville, we have Durham Transportation, and that's a private company that leases the buses to the city or the school district. As long as they're not in transportation to school or home to school and school to home, then they're free game. I can't inspect them anytime. But as long as they're doing the transportation to and from, I cannot. But if they're going to a Friday night football game, they're going to the museum, whatever it may be, then I can do whatever I need to. So that's why federal regulations can apply, but they don't apply here.
So are they governed by any regulation?
Just state law.
I mean, these are the vehicles that are transporting our children.
Yeah, I know. They're required to have inspections, but they're just annual.
I kind of have a question.
Sure.
Because I have a principal that he wasn't in a bus, but he has still the same.
Yeah, well... The biggest thing is they're not really eligible for any of the deferred stuff. there are two separate systems for CDL drivers, and it's not in here, so I'll run through it real quick. You have your driver's license points that show up for everybody nowadays, and they have hazardous moving violations or hazardous violations that affect them for disqualification. On the federal end, Washington, D.C. keeps a driver profile record. It's not attached to the license, although it is, where they can gain lots of points for load securement, bad brakes, bad tires. When it's driver-related, when we stop these trucks, it affects that. And what that does for that driver is that when a company goes to hire that guy, he can go into that, the employer, or to a potential employer, can go into the system, and he can look at this driver's safety rating. Now, over here in the Texas DL, per se, they're not real worried about that so much as they are the big federal violations that affect their safety rating as a company. So it can affect you in that aspect. But unless you're writing the federal violations, though, they're not going on. The driving record is very important in the fact that you do get the moving violations. But other than that, no federal violation will affect the driver's license itself. No. No. There is a Class C commercial, and typically it's related to hazardous materials. If you're driving a small box truck and occasionally have to carry lots of hazmat, then you'll have to have a CDL.
It will stay on there.
There's CDL and non-CDL for all classes. And something interesting, and I've been doing this for 25 years, or law enforcement for 25 years, I never realized that there's no exceptions for driver's license law. So like the Class B you're talking about, that allows you to drive a single unit vehicle, 26,000 or more. Class C covers anything under 26,000 pound gross weight rating, if that makes sense. And then a Class A is anything over 26,000 with a trailer. So whether it's a CDL or not, like these farmers, and we all deal with those, when they're driving their big Bubba truck with the gooseneck, more than likely they're required to have a Class A license, depending on the gross vehicle weight rating. But it never dawned on me until I got into commercial. But there is no exception.
So what is the weight requirement on that?
26,000 and 1 pound. Anything over that requires a different...
weight for the vehicle and the trailer?
Yeah. So you may have 10,000 on the truck and 20,000 on the trailer. It's not what you're carrying, by the way. It's what it can carry.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes. Yeah. It's the capacity because we don't know what you do with that trailer. If we stop you empty, but you've got the... Yeah, you've got the potential to carry something huge. So they base it off of the weight rating. There is a flow chart. Here's a piece of paper. Or if you have jump drives, I can print them off. But there are flow charts for driver's licenses for farmers, CDL, non-CDL stuff. If you have a computer jump drive, or if not, I can email them to you when we get done. Email's probably easier that way. But if you'll pass it around, or if you got it, or let me just give you my email. That'll be easy. And send me a little email saying he'd like to get the driver's license flow charts. It will come in handy. It's going to be SHILL at cityoflewisville.com. One big long, and it's LEWISVILLE. Yes, ma'am.
Neighbors.
I'm sorry?
We're somewhat neighbors. I'm in Rockwall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we've had wrecks on those stupid on 30, you know, and the jurisdictions, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The city of Dallas on the lake and all that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fire on the bridge. They have to come in with engineers.
Yep. It gets bad.
What I would like to learn more about.
There's a lot of drama with truck wrecks, but I'll go back to the point that a lot of times cars are causing that. The truck just gets the spotlight, unfortunately. This is an interesting deal here. Now, we have intrastate, which is inside the state of Texas, and interstate, crossing state lines. In the state of Texas, if he stays inside our great state, he's not a commercial vehicle. But because his gross vehicle weight rating is 15,000 pounds and he wants to go to Oklahoma now or New Mexico, He is now a commercial vehicle, and he falls under all the regulations. But he doesn't need a CDL ever because he's still under 26,000 pounds. But all the safety regulations apply to the vehicle. And hours of service, he'd have to have a medical card, but no CDL. Would you consider this a commercial vehicle? In-state, out-of-state?
No.
A commercial?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, he's just a dually.
So he can pull. Depends on what he can pull, right?
Yeah, but his gross weight rating will be 11,500. The key here, anything, a motorcycle, but as soon as you placard a vehicle with hazardous material, that makes it a commercial vehicle.
What does he have there?
That's an oxygen. No, I'm sorry, that's an oxidizer.
And that's
a
carry.
Yep, so you could have dynamite in a saddlebag of a motorcycle. He'd have to show placards, have to have a Class C hazmat license with a motorcycle endorsement. But that'll launch them right into the federal regulations real quick.
Do they have to have a vehicle marking on where you see them? This is a commercial vehicle on the back?
No, that's an Oklahoma thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. I don't know why Oklahoma does that. That's just a state law of theirs. Because, you know, anything can become a commercial vehicle. Okay, for weight enforcement for the small towns, Midland, and nobody from Midland's here, but that's the lowest I see on the population. Odessa, when I looked it up a minute ago, was like 99.9, and Midland was 110 or something like that. The only other way to get it done, your constable or deputies, or if you know a good legislator that will change the laws. Because weight is truly all about the money. You've driven down the roads that are beat up, these heavy loads when they're not getting permits and taking proper routes. When we write these tickets, half of it goes to the state. They're hefty fines, up to $1,000 on the first offense for 10,000 over. And then you can have a subsequent for $2,000. Again, state weight law is enforceable just on your city streets. If you do meet the requirements of a weight enforcement officer, then you've got free game, which is statewide kind of interesting. They pretty much spell out you can go anywhere in the state and weigh trucks. That's how serious they are about the damage the roads are receiving from these trucks. And that's going to be under 621, 22, and 23 of the Transportation Code, as well as your size and weight, or size and height, excuse me. And this is what I'm talking about, over 10,000, but there are just three. You can be 100,000 over. Once you're 10,000 over, there's no different fine structure. But it's 1 to 5, 5,000, 1 to 10,000, and above 10,000. And there's your fine ranges for those violations. One to five. I'm sorry?
Is that in the paperwork?
Yes, that should be. Yes. Let's get all your different. You do have a weight violation sheet. And I don't know, how big is Marfa? But you have a lot of trucks through there, don't you? Do they ever hit your city streets?
Highway 90 and 67.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you had a lot of them cutting through side streets and doing little things like that, of course you'd stop it real quick after you wrote them a few tickets. But size and weight, though, or size and for length and width and height, anybody can enforce that. They're allowed 4 feet off the rear. Anything after that's a ticket or a violation. Anything over 14 feet. Anybody in the state, any peace officer can enforce those. It's just the actual weighing of the truck that's restricted.
And they do have tickets for overweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rear axle.
And there's your subsequent fines. So you go from two to 300, 5 to 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000. Now, the interesting thing is, if y'all were to get into it, the state says you keep all this money. You don't send any of that to the state. But then you split the big money with them, just 50-50. But even then, a $500 fine's pretty big when you hit them with these, or $1,000. So the city can make some money out of it to keep up the scales and keep the program up. And we just bought these set of scales right here. October last year, $35,000. They've been paid for in less than a year. Mainly because we do some big scale operations. This past week we did a 72-hour road check, which is nothing but trucks, and we ran 250 trucks across the scales with like 180 violations. I'm sorry? We did 2 days in Denton and 1 day in Louisville at the movie grill. That's in a movie theater parking lot. They're very generous and very kind to us, and I'm surprised they let us still come in there because it's a mess when we leave.
What is that weighing, just the truck or
yeah,
the trailer also?
Well, what we do is we measure by axle or group of axles, so we'll drive them up and get the steer axle and get that weight. We'll pull them forward and then get the tandems, and then pull them all the way up and get the tandems, and then the computer adds them all up. And they get a thumbs up or a thumbs down. No, we do it when they're loaded. Yeah, we're looking to see how full they are.
And are you putting them out of service right then and there if they're overweight, or what are you doing?
Yes and no. Depending on how much they're overweight, if it's just a minor amount or just over axle, and when I say over axle, he's allowed 20,000 pounds here and say he's 21,000, I'll put him out because he's exceeding his tire rating probably. If he's 1,000 over on these, I'm not going to do a whole lot to him. But let's say we had one the other day that was 12,000 pounds over on the drive axles, 12,000 pounds. And we put them down the bottom of the parking lot, called the company, said, come offload. Make them offload. So you're not really putting them out of service, but you have the power to make them remove and get back down to the legal limit. Yeah. Oh, I wish we could. But then we wouldn't have warrant officers. They do have to come to court, and very few of them. I'll tell you that in almost 4 years, I have never been to court on a case. Most of these companies just want to pay the ticket and go on down the road.
So do you find most of them overweight?
No.
Really?
Okay, that's good. A good, you know, probably 50-50. Oh, yeah. And after it rains, you know, the trash, we got three dumps in Louisville, three trash waste management companies, and after it rains, you know, they just load and load and load and load, and they stuff it full. Well, it's full of water, too, now. And they don't like seeing us. This guy was huge. These things weigh about 6,000 pounds, 5,000, somewhere around there. But then when they're stacked up this high, we automatically know that they're going to be super heavy, especially on two axles. And we call the steer axle an axle, and this is the drive axle. On two axles, that is a lot of weight. And I think he's allowed 40,000, and I think he weighed in like at 55, is what I recall.
It looks like he, as you said, it looks to me like he'd be almost as heavy on the back end as he is on the front end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get just the least bit unbalanced. And,
well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If that stuff was further back, but, you know, most of the weight is distributed in the middle.
In the middle.
But you could cause a collapse of the frame. And I've seen some broken frames this past year that I'm surprised they were even still driving.
Yeah. Who actually is responsible for the load that they're carrying? I mean, is it the company they work for?
The driver.
Who puts all that stuff on their company?
Well, it's interesting. That's a good question. That the responsibility falls in two places. When it comes to loading rock trucks, if that guy driving that loader just loads and loads and loads, he knows what he's doing, but he's loading them up heavy, we can go after him for a Class C misdemeanor and write him a ticket for aid and abatement or whatever it is. I've never got to write one, but I want to. Well, in this case, this could be the lumber company's truck. Same thing, I could go back to the yard and say, hey, man, here you go, here's a ticket. But he's just as responsible as a driver. And he knows when it's heavy. Excuse me. Because those trucks, when you load them up that much, they're sluggish. They don't take off very well. Yeah. This same deal. This was my stop, and I think he was right at 80,000 pounds, and he's only allowed 54, because sheetrock is extremely heavy.
And he's got his loader.
Oh, it's actually still. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That loader is hanging in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
all that shit. Yeah, no CDL, no license whatsoever. So we towed and arrested the driver. But that guy's driving down the road, has no clue what he's doing with a very heavy load.
Citizen or not, do you know?
I don't remember. That was early in my commercial career.
Were you around when the Benton County and all the people killed?
That was up in Sherman. The buses? Was that the one you're thinking?
He was not from this country.
Yeah, that was over on 75, mm-hmm. up in Collin or Grayson County. Yeah, that was a.
Horrible.
Yeah, that was medication, driver fatigue. I don't think he was even supposed to have his license. This is an example of a permitted load, or what you need a permit for. He's over 102 inches, which is 8.5 feet. And he's real heavy, so he's required to get a permit. Another state violation that your officers can enforce as far as the width and the height. If they don't have a permit and they're over width, your guys can shut them down. And yeah, that's a whole other story, those poor bridges.
You don't have to have PC to stop these vehicles?
No, I don't.
And
a weight enforcement officer under the transportation code does not. They have to have reasonable suspicion that they're overweight through, you know, squished tires, material falling out of the cement truck. But as far as federal violations, we're doing an inspection. It's a regulated business. We're no different than game wardens with animals. We're just game wardens for trucks.
Mm-hmm. Towns around the outside there. But they're doing so much transport right now because they're installing so many of the wind farms.
Oh yeah.
And they're transporting those huge
the blades and
of the blades,
yeah.
And the wind,
sure.
And all that are going up there. How do they regulate those? Because or do they or can they?
Yeah, they're very regulated, and they should have permits to move that size.
Because
trying to turn it?
I really don't know. Yeah, trying to turn. I honestly don't know how they got him out of it because we just backed up and circled around.
Has everybody seen those big bladed?
And they're usually bad, like part of it's just
like a
ship. Part of a train.
Yeah.
In other words,
there's a guy following in a vehicle with a remote control that steers that back trailer.
That part of it.
Yeah. They have a remote control for when they turn corners, that guy, like driving a RC car.
I mean, they had the DPS and they had the sheriff's officers and they were, because he was just, I don't know how he got it.
Wow.
I wouldn't have had time to stick around and see how he was going to get himself out of there, but it was interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's always neat to see those guys get in a pickle. We'll skip this. This is just some different various penalties for commodity specific. Cement trucks, we have a lot of legislators with cement truck companies as well as garbage truck companies because they get some exceptions. These are pretty hefty. You got your basic Class C, but if you get a second conviction on a size ticket, and then, of course, the third is triple or go to jail for 6 months. This guy that actually stopped this truck was the co-instructor that does the ones when I'm not doing it. And he's 16 feet over, and he was about a quarter mile from the job site. And he made them offload them, bring another trailer that would accommodate these or get the permit. I think he had them offload them. So that was, you know, they almost made it. And I know he didn't have a permit. All federal, I don't want to bore y'all now, so I want to get to some stuff that we can, I got lots of pictures. But all our authority comes out of Chapter 6, 44 to enforce the federal law. And how many of y'all are familiar with the administrative code? It is the hidden law. And until I got into commercial, DPS has kept that under their hat for all these years. It is a wealth of information, but when the legislators make a law, then it gets sent to DPS or however all that works. But DPS says, hey, that's not exactly what we meant. We want to tweak it a little bit. Well, where they tweak it is in the administrative code. For instance, mud flaps. Everybody familiar with that law? What's the tolerance or the, well, I'll just tell you, it's the law in the transportation code says a mud flap can't be more than 8 inches off the ground. In here, they have allotted a 4-inch tolerance. So until it's over 12 inches, you can't write them a ticket.
But they don't know that.
No, most often, I didn't know it. But and most people don't know it. That's the crazy. Why do they hide this law? It's online now. You can go to the Texas Register or just type in Texas Administrative Code. It'll come up. There's a lot of neat stuff in there. That's where you'll find all your criteria for breath test programs, all your driver's license points and suspensions. But every state agency has their own administrative code. So TABC, TxDOT, you can find a lot of interesting information there. It's good reading. That's what we have to do the federal stuff. Okay, so I was talking about tire violations. Texas has nothing. As far as a police officer goes, nothing you can do about that. Other than go with the old catch-all of operating a vehicle in unsafe condition. So it's to endanger yourself or others, whatever that that violation is. That's about just a catch-all that you can do. I, on the other hand, can put this guy out of service and make him change it right there on the side of the road. All right, my first video. Let's hope it works. I turned the volume down because this truck's running, but I'm going to walk the camera over here and then go up under the truck. You're going to see two coffee cans under the truck. Those are the brake chambers. When you apply brakes, it shoots air into those chambers and pushes rods out, which in turn activates energy on the brake shoes. They should be very solidly mounted. And that's out by you. Yeah.
There's music.
You know, I should have something. You can see the tire moving. It's flat, so that's an out-of-service violation. And there's the coffee cans. See the bolt missing?
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
His braking, if he has no brakes on this.
No brakes.
That one's loose, too.
And this is the brakes that are keeping that guy safe.
Can you remind that car with the name of that company?
Yeah, it'll come up on the picture here in a minute.
Scary.
I think I found 4 more brakes out on that truck and trailer total. Wow. So 6 brakes were out.
How many brakes do they have?
That particular configuration had 10. So he only had 4 good brakes. Oh, I guess it doesn't show it.
Truck
and F. There you go. Now, interesting enough, anybody can go on TxDOT's website, or Texas Department of Motor Vehicles regulates them now. But you can go to their website and type in this number, and you can see, actually, you see quite a bit of information. But if you go to the federal website, everybody's having to get USDOT numbers now. And you can go type in a USDOT number of a trucking company in your city and go and look at their carrier profile. which they're going to be rated as to whether satisfactory or unsatisfactory. Then you kind of know who you got to pick on. Well, there's your Texas. More and more you're going to see no more text dot numbers displayed because everybody has to get a US DOT number. Yeah, USDOT versus TxDOT used to issue them. Here's the tread depth issue. Obviously, we have steel cord showing. That's a defective tire. It's not out of service, just like this, unless this inner tire is the same way. If we have two side by side, then we can put them out of service. On those coffee cans, there's your push rod. I'm sorry, I've got this. That's a push rod that comes down, but there's no push rod. This guy has no brake on his right front. Excuse me. That's an out-of-service violation all by itself. Because it's on the steer axle on a hard brake, what happens? You'll pull. My second and only... steer axle, yeah. If you'll watch, this is the area of concern right here. What happens to metal when you bend it? Paperclip? Eventually breaks, doesn't it? Who knows how long this has been going on? Can you see the movement? That whole thing's just shifting back and forth. It's not. That's supposed to be bolted solid. And if you watch how this tire rocks, it kind of gives you an idea when I come back with it. That tire's in the kick right there. That's how much movement is in that. A little over a half an inch, I think, is what I measured. In those type of trucks, there were a lot of violations with that. We have the power to tow these things and get them off the street or get them towed to a repair facility immediately. That one got towed only because he only had two working brakes out of four total. He had the steering axle issue. He didn't have Texas Operating Authority, which is the DOT numbers. So those type of people that are out there driving, when we catch them, we can snatch them up and get them corrected. Oops, I'm sorry.
What was that picture? A load strap, isn't it?
Yeah. Again.
With the cuts in it?
Yes. When you get over... on these particular straps, 4-inch straps, you get over 3/4 of an inch cut. And we can add it up. That's like an inch here and an inch here. That's 2 inches in a 4-inch strap. What's happened to the amount of strength that it has? We've cut it in half for sure, but probably more. So that would be an out-of-service strap. They'd have to throw a new one up there. That's why the federal law really is neat. They're really strict on these guys. Commercial vehicle or no?
Yes.
Because of the
hazardous material.
Yep. And what's interesting about that is this is the first time I stopped this very same wrecker and very same driver and put him out of service because the only numbers they have are right here, and those are TDLR, which is another agency I deal with. And that's Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. They regulate tow trucks. Well, he doesn't have a Texas DOT number or a US DOT number. He's regulated to haul cars and cars only or motor vehicles. So when he went by with this on there, I knew immediately that he was not allowed to haul hazmat. And sure enough, he has no shipping papers. He has no hazmat endorsement. He has no medical card. Didn't have a CDL at all. He did have a Class C license. Placards he didn't have on all four sides. So there were a lot of big issues. And when you get into hazardous material violations, on our end, they're still just 500 max. But on PHMSA, Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration, they get into tens of thousands. They don't mess around. So I don't know what's happened to these people. But I stopped them 3 months later, same thing. And I talked to the business owner again. He said, I don't have to have all that stuff. And I towed him. They're not getting the message.
Surely they have to have a lot more training to get that.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that's the issue, is the guy kept doing it. He was hauling those around for a fuel company to job sites.
Issue a citation?
Oh, yeah.
So you issued a citation the first time. The college just paid it and then just continued
yeah.
to do it?
No, they're actually fighting me on it. I haven't gone to court on it, but that's been a year ago, and they're still up and... It, you know, attorneys get a hold of it. And,
yeah, court of record, is that what
put it off
until
forget something?
Yeah, I won't forget them.
I know.
This is the same type of situation. This guy went by me. I saw a big fuel tank in the back. Once you get over 119 gallons, you jump into the federal regulations. So I stopped him, and this is a 200-gallon tank, I think. 170-something. It's kind of blurry. And then he had these tanks on the side, too. Two of these were fuel tanks. So he was carrying a lot of diesel fuel. He does have a USDOT, but he had no hazmat registration, CDL, hazmat, you know, all the goodies, shipping papers, and so on. And this happens everywhere. People are hauling chemicals and hazardous materials around your cities. I don't care where you live, that shouldn't be doing it. This is an interesting one, and we're almost done. This was at our road check last year. And if you see, there's a corrosive in a, I think that's a poison. Poison and corrosive. And a big no-no is you never haul food and poison in the same truck. And right here, do not load with poisons. He had a load of... the corrosive, by the way, was Coca-Cola syrup, in case you haven't...
Okay.
That's a placardable amount of Coca-Cola, and all these soft drinks are full of corrosives. But, nevertheless, it is a food item. And what they did is loaded these poisons with that Coca-Cola product, and that turned into an 8-hour ordeal with the health department, Coca-Cola, CRST, the carrier, you know, because that food is no, or the drink is no longer good. It has to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a heck of a catch, no doubt. It was a really good deal.
Who destroys it?
Coca-Cola comes and gets it, I think, or maybe the health department. I left before it all played out. I was tired.
That was your whole shift.
Yeah, pretty much. Serious violations for the judges. This is a, I don't know, a lot of courts sometimes go, oh, we're not going to report this, but on CDLs, we need to make sure we report stuff. And those are all found under 522.003. Of course, your convictions and all that, 522.081. It gives you your length of disqualifications. And then there's the big one. Generally, they're not eligible for any deferred. Which I think is almost everything except a very select few things.
Insurance is one of them.
Okay. I haven't read into it enough. I just know that, generally speaking, they're not allowed to have them. And I guess you all have to run. There's court costs for federal fines versus rules of the road, which 52 is the federal fines. And any last questions before we get run out of here? Yeah, just pushing y'all out of here. Thank y'all.